Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. When Work Disappears by sociologist William Julius Wilson examines what happens to individuals, families, and neighborhoods when stable employment vanishes from urban communities. Focusing on the transformation of inner-city life in the late 20th century, the book connects large economic shifts to everyday experiences, showing how deindustrialization, suburban job growth, and changes in labor markets can isolate residents from opportunity. Wilson is known for blending statistical evidence with grounded observation, and this work continues that approach by tracing how joblessness affects social networks, public safety, schooling, and local institutions. Rather than treating poverty only as a matter of individual behavior, the book emphasizes structural conditions and the cumulative effects of living in places where work is scarce and informal survival strategies become common. The result is a portrait of the new urban poor that highlights both the constraints people face and the policy choices that could widen or narrow pathways back to stable employment and community. Stability. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from industrial decline to neighborhood joblessness, a central topic is the economic restructuring that reduced access to stable, decent paying work for many urban residents. Wilson links the decline of manufacturing and the rise of a service-oriented economy to the disappearance of jobs that once matched the skills of workers without advanced formal education. As employment decentralized to suburbs and edge cities, the physical distance between job growth and inner-city neighborhoods increased, creating barriers that are not only about commuting but also about information and networks. Hiring increasingly relied on referrals, prior work histories, and soft skills shaped by workplace exposure, which disadvantages people who have been separated from steady jobs for long periods. Wilson also emphasizes that concentrated joblessness is different from individual unemployment because it changes the local opportunity structure. When many adults in a neighborhood cannot find work, the routines and expectations associated with employment fade from daily life. Young people see fewer examples of regular labor market attachment, and local businesses and services weaken. This topic frames joblessness as a neighborhood-level condition produced by broader economic forces, setting the stage for the social consequences explored throughout the book. Secondly, social isolation and the weakening of informal support systems. Wilson explores how the loss of work contributes to social isolation, a condition where residents have reduced ties to people and institutions connected to mainstream opportunity. Employment does more than provide income, it embeds individuals in networks that share job leads, set expectations for punctuality and reliability, and connect families to unions, churches, and civic groups. When jobs disappear, those bridging ties erode and neighborhoods can become socially disconnected from the wider economy and from influential institutions. The book highlights how this isolation affects family stability and community cohesion. With fewer employed adults, households may face chronic stress, unstable relationships, and reduced capacity to provide supervision and mentoring. Informal help also becomes harder when everyone is struggling, so the safety net of friends and relatives is stretched thin. The result is a cycle where lack of work reduces networks and institutional contact, and weakened networks make it harder to find work. Wilson treats these patterns as cumulative and intergenerational, not simply as a snapshot of hardship. This topic clarifies why labor market solutions alone may be insufficient without rebuilding community-level connections to opportunity. Thirdly, family life under chronic unemployment and low-wage instability. Another major topic is how persistent joblessness and unstable low-wage work reshape family formation, parenting, and household organization. Wilson examines how the inability to secure steady employment can undermine the social and economic foundations that support long-term partnerships. When adults cannot reliably contribute income, relationships face higher strain, and the prospect of marriage or stable cohabitation may appear less attainable. The book connects these dynamics to broader neighborhood conditions, where high rates of joblessness can change local norms and expectations about work and family roles. Wilson also addresses how parenting is affected when caregivers must juggle irregular work, informal earnings, and the stress of material insecurity. These pressures can limit time and emotional bandwidth, reducing consistent supervision and engagement with schools and youth programs. Importantly, the book does not reduce these outcomes to moral failure. Instead, it argues that labor market exclusion and neighborhood disadvantage create conditions in which even motivated individuals face constrained choices. This topic helps readers understand how economic forces translate into intimate decisions and daily routines, and why policies that stabilize employment and wages can have ripple effects on family well-being. Fourthly, public safety, institutions, and the neighborhood ecology of disorder. Wilson discusses how the disappearance of work can alter the local ecology of neighborhoods, influencing public safety and the strength of institutions. When legitimate employment is scarce, informal and illicit economies may become more prominent, not only because of financial need, but also because they can offer status, structure, and immediate rewards. The book examines how this shift can contribute to higher levels of visible disorder and violence, which in turn discourages business investment, reduces foot traffic, and further weakens local services. Schools, community organizations, and churches may struggle as resources shrink and staff face burnout, while residents lose trust in institutions that seem unable to deliver safety and opportunity. Wilson frames crime and disorder as connected to structural conditions, rather than purely individual pathology, emphasizing feedback loops. Fear and instability prop those with resources to leave when possible, accelerating concentration of disadvantage. Meanwhile, remaining residents encounter more barriers to organizing collective responses because shared routines and expectations are fragmented. This topic highlights that rebuilding safety is intertwined with restoring employment pathways and strengthening local institutions. Since neighborhood stability depends on both economic inclusion and credible, effective civic infrastructure. Lastly, policy responses that connect people to work and rebuild opportunity, a concluding theme, is the set of policy directions implied by the analysis. Wilson argues that addressing urban poverty requires more than behavior-focused programs. It requires reconnecting marginalized neighborhoods to the labor market and to institutions that generate opportunity. Strategies can include job creation targeted to disadvantaged areas or populations, wage supports, and training aligned with real labor demand, paired with supports such as childcare and transportation that make work feasible. Wilson also points to the importance of improving schools and community organizations so that residents have stronger bridges to the wider economy. Another component is reducing barriers created by spatial mismatch and discrimination through fair hiring enforcement, regional planning, and initiatives that expand access to job-rich areas. The book suggests that comprehensive approaches work best when they combine individual-level supports with place-based investment, recognizing that concentrated joblessness is both a personal and neighborhood condition. This topic is valuable because it translates diagnosis into action, encouraging readers to evaluate which interventions change opportunity structures rather than merely managing symptoms. It also provides a framework for comparing policy proposals by asking whether they increase stable employment, strengthen institutions, and reduce isolation. In conclusion, Butsumpted Sadie is tasked in the ball field. This book is best for readers who want a rigorous, evidence-based understanding of urban poverty, including students in sociology, public policy, economics, education, and criminal justice, as well as practitioners and community leaders working in cities. It is also valuable for general readers who sense that debates about poverty often overlook how labor markets and neighborhoods shape everyday life. The benefit to the reader is a clearer way to connect big forces such as deindustrialization, suburbanization, and changing hiring practices to outcomes that are usually discussed separately, including family stress, school challenges, and public safety. That integrated perspective can improve how a reader evaluates news, policy proposals, and local initiatives, replacing simplistic explanations with a more realistic map of causes and feedback loops. Compared with similar books, Wilson's work stands out for emphasizing the disappearance of work as a central mechanism and for treating joblessness as a neighborhood condition that restructures norms, networks, and institutions. It also bridges quantitative evidence with on-the-ground interpretation, making the argument both analytical and concrete. For buyers choosing among poverty and inequality titles, this one offers a durable framework for understanding why reconnecting communities to stable employment is foundational to long-term change. If you would like to support William Julius Wilson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.